In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That is really Christmas. The whole meaning of Christmas can be wrapped up in that one statement. The Word of God, who is God, took on human flesh to reveal God to us, to live with us, and to redeem us. You might remember at the end of the book of Exodus, the people of Israel had completed the tabernacle. Everyone had made offerings of precious metals and precious stones and put in their own labor for the furnishings of the tabernacle and the construction of the tent. And Moses oversaw the people as they set up the tent and placed the furnishings in their place. And then Moses and Aaron completed their ritual for cleansing. And then in the very last paragraph of the book of Exodus, we are told, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting, because the cloud settled upon it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Even Moses, the one who spoke with God as one speaks with a friend, was not able to enter the tent of meeting when the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And throughout the rest of the Old Testament, only Moses and then later the high priests were allowed to enter the Holy of Holies, where the mercy seat of God was placed. And the high priests were allowed to enter only once a year after they completed their ritual for cleansing. There was almost a complete separation between God and humanity. And the prophet Isaiah recognized this problem. In the 55th chapter of the book of Isaiah, we read, seek the Lord while he wills to be found. Call upon him when he draws near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the evil ones their thoughts. And let them turn to the Lord and he will have compassion unto our God, for he will richly pardon. And that sounds like great advice. Seek God, turn from evil, and God will have compassion. But there was another problem, and Isaiah points out what the true problem is. Through the prophet, God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. There's something in the human heart that compels us to seek God. It's sort of a common memory from a time before sin entered the world and we walked with God in the cool of the day. It's a hunger for that relationship that we were created to have with God. But how can we find that relationship when his thoughts and his ways and our thoughts and our ways are so far apart? How can we seek God when he draws near if Moses could not enter the tent of meeting when the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle? But then Isaiah went on to tell us what the solution would be. He said, as rain and snow fall from the heavens and return not again, but water the earth, so is God's word that goes forth from his mouth. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We could not reach God, so God came to us. We could not approach the glory of God, so the Son of God humbled himself, taking on the form of a servant, so that when he came to us, we could draw near without fear. We could behold the glory of the Lord as revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. You see, in Jesus, we don't just have another enlightened teacher. In him, we don't have just another prophet. In Jesus Christ, we have God incarnate, God in person, who can clarify to us what he's been saying from the beginning of creation, who can give us the thoughts of God and the ways of God. He can clarify that we weren't created to be servants of the Sabbath, but that the principle of the Sabbath was given that we might find rest in God. He can clarify that in the lilies of the field and the birds of the air, God has given us an example. He demonstrates that he will continue to provide for us so we don't need to hold on so tightly to what we have. Most of all, Jesus can clarify that God's desire is for us to be his children. All who believe in the name of Jesus were given the power to become the children of God. God wanted us to be his children rather than his slaves. God's grace and mercy are greater than our sins because the Word became flesh and lived among us. Because God became incarnate, we can be certain that we understand who God is when we look at the person of Jesus Christ. Of course, that wasn't the end of the story. John tells us that the Word came into being, the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own people, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received in him and believed in his name, he gave power to become the children of God. Now, sometimes there are honest misunderstandings when we don't really hear what someone is trying to say to us rightly. But there are also times when we make the choice to misunderstand, or when we choose to ignore the words spoken to us. It's possible for us to know what God has said and done in the person of Jesus Christ and refuse to accept him. There are some who find the notion that God will provide what we need a threatening idea. They build their self-worth on the notion that they're the master of their own destiny. They've grown proud in what they've accumulated for themselves. They draw pleasure from the deference of others who have less than they have. And if they acknowledge that all that they have is a gift from God, then they lose themselves. They lose what separates them from others. There are some who would rather be slaves of God than children of God. The slave is obedient to earn the approval of the master. But the child, those who have put their faith in Christ, are obedient because we already have the approval of our Father. The slave's value is found in what is produced. The child's value is found in his relationship to the parent. There are those who would rather earn God's favor than receive his love. And so they rejected the word that God had revealed in Christ, and they chose slavery over love. But the message that we hear at Christmas is the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that in Jesus Christ we have the full revelation of what God has been saying from the very beginning. Often the difficulty is not so much that we don't understand, but we wanted to hear something different. When we are confronted with this Word made flesh, we have a choice to make. We can choose to receive him or reject him. We can choose to see goodness or capriciousness in creation. We can choose to be children or choose to be slaves. St. John writes that the point of all of this is to show us that Jesus is the Word incarnate. He's the revelation of God. And that's not just a nice story. It's not just one of many ideas about God that tell us what God might be like. The gospel of Christ is the revelation of God himself. The gospel of Christ is God speaking to remake men and women in his image once again. Most of all, the gospel of Christ is an invitation. It's an invitation to put our faith, our belief, in the name of Jesus Christ. And when we put our faith and belief in him, he gives us the power to become children of God. I share this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.